This is Innovations in Patient Care. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Innovations in Patient Care. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. This episode is sponsored through the generous support of Physio-Control. Find out more about how they are helping healthcare professionals innovate and improve outcomes in healthcare at physio-control.com, or look for them on Facebook and Twitter. I recently attended the NTI Critical Care Nurses Conference in Houston, Texas, and I stopped by the Physio-Control booth to chat with some of the nurse educators while I was there. I talked with a nurse named Amanda Lawrence while I was chatting in the booth, and she was teaching people there about prepping patients for transport and also transitioning from being an ICU nurse to becoming a flight nurse. So check out this interview I grabbed while she was taking a break. Hi, Jamie Davis here at NTI 2017. We're here in the Physio Control booth, and I always like to talk to some of the amazing educators they bring in to talk to the nurses attending the conference. I have Amanda Lawrence here. Amanda, nice to meet you. This is your first NTI, I understand.
It is. It's my first time coming here. I've been to a couple of different national conferences, but this is the first time I've been able to come to NTI. It's a pretty amazing spectacle.
So why don't you introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do.
Okay, so I am a nurse for the University of Utah. I've been there for 18 years, 19 actually, been a nurse for 15 of those years. Currently I'm on the flight team, have been for the last 9 years, and we fly rotor wing and fixed wing aircraft. I've been at the bedside there in the burn ICU, surgical ICU, cardiovascular ICU, and in the emergency department.
So you're teaching here on a couple of different topics, I think transitioning from ICU to transport team. What are some of the things that people need to keep in mind when they're getting a patient ready for transport?
So one of the things that I really stress is to absolutely be patient with us and to make sure that we have good communication with each other. Sometimes during a transport, there's a lot of different chaos that's happening. We want to make sure that the patient has a smooth transition. And sometimes what we need is the patients from the ICU team to be able to realize that sometimes we have to stabilize the patient before we can put them in an aircraft, because we only have two of us in the aircraft and we have almost no resources other than the gear that we carry. And then on the other side, when you're receiving an ICU transfer from a flight team, sometimes the patient's a big old hot mess. And I wanted to explain to the ICU nurses why sometimes that happens. And it's just because we don't have the ICU resources in the aircraft. So sometimes they are a little bit of a mess, or they're peri-arrest because they're really, really sick. And one of the things that I talk about is, if you have a difficult time understanding kind of what's going on in the flight world, go to your local flight team with your hospital or out in the community, if it's a community-based team, and see if they have a ride-along program and ask to go with the team so that you can get that experience firsthand.
Yeah, there's nothing like actually going along on a transport like that to really get a sense of how different it is than having everything around you like you have in the hospital unit.
Exactly. One of the things I had to learn was that I have to save my syringes. Like, I would have never thought. I mean, that's unheard of in the ICU. I only have 3 of them in the aircraft. So when I give a patient pain meds or something, I have to keep that syringe because I'm going to need it again.
Yeah, that's unusual, but it's something, like you said, you don't even think about unless you're in that situation. The other segment was about actually thinking about becoming a member of a flight team, and that can take a different sort of mindset as well.
Absolutely. A lot of people will come into the ICU and ER setting with the intention of eventually being a flight crew member. So my session is going to talk about what kind of experience you need to have, how many years of experience you need to have, and why that experience is absolutely critical in order to be a successful transport team member. One of the other things I'll talk about as well is making sure that you find a safe program to work for, because, I mean, let's just talk about the elephant in the room. Aircraft crashes within helicopter EMS is a big deal, and that deters a lot of people from applying to become a flight crew member. But it's a little bit deeper than that. It's people, helicopters don't just fly, like fall out of the sky. There are reasons for things happening. And we're actually going to talk in depth about why those accidents happen and stuff like that. So finding a safe program, finding a program that's going to set you up for success as a good transport crew member, giving you a thorough orientation, not just giving you five flights and then cutting you loose, absolutely making sure that you can succeed and come off of orientation successfully and be a good partner for somebody as well.
Yeah, and it's a lot to it. It's a different mindset when you get into that, almost that pre-hospital setting. You have to kind of come at it from a different direction. And I know as a paramedic first and then became a nurse later, it kind of changed my whole perspective. And going back to the other direction is sometimes challenging.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, depending on which crew you end up working for, if you do make it to the flight line, I work in a place where we're first on scene for a lot of accidents. So my partner and I have to be comfortable with each other's skills, and we have to know how we can triage those patients, do emergency procedures if needed, pull the trigger and intubate somebody if they need to be intubated. I don't have to ask a physician for permission to be able to do that or try to talk them into doing it. We have protocols that we can just do that kind of stuff. So, but the bottom line is it's an awesome, awesome gig, and I don't regret it a day in my life. I love going to work every day. My work family is, they're my family. They're my second family. So we make some really strong bonds with each other, and we all know about each other's families and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, our safety is absolutely paramount.
Well, Amanda, I hope to see you at future NTIs. That would be awesome. Maybe in Boston next year.
I'm hoping. Boston would be awesome. Fenway Park's on my bucket list, so.
There you go. And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here from NTI 2017 in Houston. We've got a lot more segments that we've covered here, so make sure you stay tuned and check back on this channel where you're watching or listening to this so that you can find all the segments we've covered here. That's going to wrap up this segment and episode of Innovations in Patient Care. Stay tuned for more segments from the top healthcare, EMS, and nursing conferences this year as we continue to focus on ways that healthcare professionals, just like you, are providing innovative care and improving patient outcomes all the time. Thanks again to Physiocontrol for sponsoring this and other episodes of Innovations in Patient Care. Make sure you say thank you to them on Facebook or Twitter for helping me bring you some of the best in healthcare innovators every year. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. You can check out my other shows in the iTunes directory or over at mediccast.com. I'll be back soon with more from Innovations in Patient Care. In the meantime, stay safe. And stay tuned here to Innovations in Patient Care.